All right, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Q&A with Alan and Marshall show. As you can see, our partner in crime, Alan, is not here. He is delayed a little bit. He should be joining us shortly. But in the meantime, we're just going to make do without the guy. So I want to introduce Frank Good with S&S Activewear, who's our guest today. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. So how are you doing today, Frank?
Doing great, Marshall. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So let everybody, we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm going to say hi to some folks here in a minute, but tell us where you live and kind of just, you know, basic one line about what you actually do for S&S.
I live in Houston, Texas, and I'm the national manager for our Decorator Outreach and Freight Advantage program.
Okay, great. And so what does that mean? Just make sure people understand that.
We have a network of contract decorators, and the Freight Advantage is our program where, those that do not decorate, that need a decorator, we put them in contact with them. And, being in that program, there's some freight advantages and some spoilage allowances that we extend to those accounts to compensate for the decoration process.
Right. And then, you live in Houston, but you're national, right?
Yes,
you're
sir.
Everywhere.
Next to Bush Airport.
Great. So thanks for being on today. And I want to remind everyone to please say hello. So if you're watching in the comments section, if you could just type in where you're from, where you're watching from, and then also don't forget that this is a Q&A show, and we really need your questions to make the show work. So don't be bashful, all right? So type your question in. And today we've got Frank here, and this guy knows everything about inventory, so he's going to do the best job that he can answering your questions.
I left my crystal ball, Marshall. Sorry, I left it outside.
Yeah, well, I can make a ball joke here, but I'll just zip right by that. But anyway, so leave your questions. We want to know what's going on with you. We're going to have a really cool show. Eventually, Alan will be here, but that's okay. We're adults. We can handle it without him. So want to say hello to some folks. So Charles is here from New Mexico. Good morning, Charles.
Morning.
Ghost is watching from Uppsala, Sweden, as usual. Brian is traveling. He's going to Washington, D.C. to represent our industry. So he's got a big trip coming up, and it's going to be really great. Anxious to hear the tales of how successful that was. So Peter Babcock's watching from Port Huron, Michigan. He's also on the road traveling to Toledo. William's watching. Hey, how's it going? Mike is watching from California. Hey, Mike, how you doing? So thanks for watching, everyone, and I appreciate you. There we go. So let's get I'll tell you what. I'm going to get the message out from GSG out of the way, and we love that they sponsor us, and then we can talk about what everybody wants to get to, and I think this is probably the biggest one right here, but
it's not a rumor.
So let's hear a message from our sponsor. Awesome. So before the show started, we were chit-chatting, and you were telling me that you bought some equipment from GSG forever ago, right? So
yeah.
You're used to be one of their customers.
I still am. I consider my, you know, my wife has a side hustle, and she, you know, we're good friends with Mallory, who's helped in that whole DIY craft market that my wife's into.
Yeah.
And she buys a lot of stalls and some of their other brands. But I cut my teeth on M&R Diamondback for my automatic.
Great. Great. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so she does like heat applied graphics?
Yes, sir. Sort of like a supply house. We have a lot in the South that seems to be a booming business, you know, for these DIYers.
Those Cricut girls, they go crazy.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. So, but we're not going to talk about that today. We're talking about other things, right? So, so let's start off the discussion today just with about SNS Activewear. Okay. Awesome. So I think everybody here knows who they are, but let's just say somebody's watching from, I don't know, Sweden, because we have one of those, right? Yeah. And they don't know anything about SNS Activewear because there's probably people who are new to the industry and maybe they've never heard of you guys. Right.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us the 411 on that and let me know if you want the slides. And I'll
click. Yeah, go ahead and throw a slide up. Well, SNS is a leading wholesale distributor of blank apparel and accessories in the U.S. and in Canada. We're based in Bolingbrook, Illinois. That's near Chicago. And then the next slide, Marshall, shows our network of 6 distribution centers, around 3.5 million square feet, where products can reach 99% of the U.S. within 2 days and 44 states just in 1 day. You can flip the next one. We're, yeah, that's kind of a picture of all the warehouses, and they're huge, huge. And you can see the solar farms, too. So very we're going green. We're a sustainable company. And just sort of, you know, you don't realize how much 3.5 million square foot is. So in the middle there, you know, it equates to 70 grocery stores, 23 Costco's or Sam's Clubs in my area, 60 football fields, and, you know, 80 acres for any of you farmers out there.
How many people work in those, Frank?
I know company wide, we have over 2000 employees. So with 6 distribution centers, you know, they're not all the same size, so it's going to vary. Lockport is 800,000 square feet. Reno's 800,000 square feet. So it, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but quite a few. I've been to the Fort Worth one since I'm in Texas, and it's huge. And Marshall, I started my work as a UPS driver right out of, you know, college. And so I've seen these big distribution centers through the UPS channel. Hey, Alan.
How you doing, guys? Sorry, I'm late.
Alan's finally here. Hold on. We're going to pause just to say hello to Alan real quick.
Yeah.
look who joined us.
Finally. Sorry, but I was in a sales meeting. I had to listen. So
it's okay. You know, you got to go with who's paying you, man.
Yeah, good stuff happening at Easy Way. I wish I could talk about it, but in another few weeks.
Yeah.
You're sworn to secrecy?
Well, a little bit, because I don't know how much of it is out. Some of you might have heard, but yeah, it's good stuff. It's very exciting stuff.
Well, it's rumor day here at the Q&A show, right? So
what have I missed already? Frank, you've got to
be excited. We haven't missed anything. We're going through the slide deck. And then we're going to get into the big buzzworthy news here in a minute. So
yeah, I had a conversation this morning with someone. And he goes, "How did you get SNS on right away?" So that's what we do. That's what Marshall and I do. We scoop.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, we nothing on 60 Minutes here. You know,
absolutely. Now, I wish we could say we're that good, but this just happened. So I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but thanks.
We're not that good? Is that what you're saying?
We're better, man, but we just got to remember to use that power for good.
We waited to release the news till they knew I was on your show.
I hate Brian Bufka right now. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Hey, it's Cindy's here. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Thanks for watching. All right. Sorry. So I didn't mean to keep showing this. I don't know. So let's go back and finish off the slides, and then we can get into some discussion, okay?
Yeah, so, if you show the slide with the brands, the next slide, you know, we currently have around 70 brands that we represent, and I think Yesterday was our virtual event where we unveiled four new brands and about 182 new styles with, you know, the rumor, it's not a rumor, but we should be probably adding two more brands as well.
Right. Well, you got some room down at the bottom there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do. A lot of room for growth. You know, it was a little over 10 years ago, the company operated in a single warehouse in the Chicago suburbs. Mm-hmm. But in the past 5 years or so, we've grown into a much bigger business. And my role, the next slide, Marshall, is
Well, before you go to the next slide,
sure.
I'm just curious because I'm a question asker, okay?
Uh-huh.
What is the number one selling brand that SNS sells? Like just total sales volume. What, Gildan?
You know, I haven't seen the numbers lately, but I think at the end of 2020, it was probably Gildan.
Okay. Just curious.
Don't quote me on that, but you know, I can probably get you exact. But that would probably, we have a lot of great brands, you know, depending on what. So if you're talking units, I would probably have to say it's either a Gildan, Bella Canvas would probably be a quick second.
Well, you know, we learned at Print Hustlers that Bella Canvas by, what did he say, next spring is going to be the number one brand.
Yeah, they're aggressive.
So that's very interesting. All right. I'm just curious. Thanks.
And as I mentioned to begin with, Freight Advantage, that's our network of contract decorators. It's a program that we have that has some Freight Advantage benefits for those shipping into our contract decoration network. The past 5 years.
If you send stuff to a contract decorator, they get the shipment sent to them for free. Is that what that mm-hmm. is?
Yes, at $1. It's free freight.
Great. Awesome.
So, you know, it's been awesome to be a part of the company in the past 5 years or so. We've seen, you know, a lot of growth into this much bigger business. But, you know, as the company has grown, the atmosphere and the culture here, it's always stayed the same. And I think that's been a big part of our success. SNS has always valued a relationship-based, less transactional approach to business. And I think you see that in a lot of our relationships with our customers and our suppliers, and of course, our internal team. And right. I think many, you know, they might think, well, you know, the bigger you get, you know, the culture, it's going to change. You're going to get more business oriented and, you know, but we haven't. And I think that's one of the key drivers in helping us grow like we have.
Great. And then I think the last slide here is your contact
stuff. Yeah.
And we'll show this again at the end. So for anybody who wants to get a hold of Frank, this is his phone number and his email.
And I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. You know, I've gotten to know a lot of people in the industry, you know, via Facebook. I appreciate all.
Yep.
I know, Brian, I met you up at Fort Worth. You know, a lot of good people at Shirt Lab and then Print Hustlers. It's been awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a huge fan of SNFs, and they sponsor Shirt Lab. They sponsor, you know, my podcast, Success Stories. You know, Partner. They do really, really great work, and so happy that they're very forward thinking and supporting the industry and helping everyone grow. So kudos to you guys for being out there and supporting things. So,
and you partner with GSG too, correct, Frank?
You know, as an affiliate, we try to support, yep. I know GSG, at, I guess the first show of this year was that the MBM or the Graphics Expo.
Yep. And everything. Yep.
You know, we supplied them with some Richardson caps and we felt the brunt of that. Everybody's like, that's why they don't have them. GSG has them.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get into the little buzz here, right? So Mike said it exactly right. Talk about the TSC acquisition a little bit. And so you found out about this yesterday, right? So it's breaking news everywhere.
Yeah. And
my whole social media just exploded with, comments and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, very excited about getting Tell-Techs through you guys. So why don't you just kind of talk about, you know, everything and so we can hear it from you.
Marshall, I found out internally about an hour before everyone else. We had always hoped that it would happen. TSC, they're an awesome distributor. I think we had a lot of things in common as a company, and it just made sense for both TSC and for SNS. I was excited to hear that Tell-Techs and M&O will come over to SNS. I think strategically it's going to be great for everyone.
Cool.
Other than that, I don't have a lot of details yet. So if we have warehouse questions, I don't know. You know, stock questions. I think our warehouses are the SNS warehouses are strategically placed very well already. But you know, who knows? I don't make those decisions, but we'll know more in 2 weeks, and then probably 2 weeks after that, we'll know even more.
They're not calling you up?
No, right. Not yet.
All right, show's over. Thanks for watching, everyone. So I think it's just fantastic. I like to see stuff like this. I think it's really good for the industry. And, you know, there's some folks out there who are, you know, maybe anti-consolidation, you know, but when you just look at how you guys are going to be able to serve your customers better, I think it's super exciting. And I was really excited when I saw that news yesterday. So I think it's a good thing. And yeah, I'm so pleased that we had the foresight to schedule you the day after the announcement. So
Yeah.
I mean, we knew this 2 months ago because that's when we scheduled Frank.
Yeah, right.
Again, we must always remember to use that power for good.
I was so excited when I heard because I told you my wife has, you know, a side business and she orders quite a bit from TSC as well. Not as much as she orders from SNS. That would be grounds for divorce.
Yeah.
But, you know, I told her this is such great news that so she can stop giving me crap about the Tell-Techs shirts.
Right. So, all right. So you guys watching, right? So do you have questions for Frank? Let's put them in the comments. What is your opinion on the merger? We want to know. They want to know, right? Are you guys excited about it? Have you ever tried Tell-Techs? Have you ever used M&O? I mean, you know, these are things that I think, you know, curious minds want to know. So get the keyboard out or get your phone out and type in some comments because that's going to help our show, right? Blatant plug there.
Yep.
So we've got some kind of other topics here. So let's just move to this one. So your role in sales there, Frank, you're helping out the contract decorator part of the world. So if kind of explain how you're assisting these companies get better.
Well, first, Marshall, if I can tell you how I got into this business, you know, it's like, we never get in on purpose, do we? It's just an accident. I was, you know, your podcast, Success Stories, you just interviewed Daryl. And like Daryl, I was a UPS driver. In college, I loaded the trucks and they had an opening for a driver come available. I'd already started a family and I just thought, you know, it was quick money, good benefits. And I started, and being a UPS driver, you get to see the inside of a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. And my wife at the time was, you know, stayed home with the kids and she wanted a business she could run from home. And there was a guy on my route that was selling a rubber stamp business and he already had a line of customers. And he said, look, you know, you can make money doing it, 10, 15,000 a year. And it produced that. But the one thing he told us, he said, but, you know, you're going to want to get your ASI number because from throughout the year, there's going to be people that want to buy coffee mugs or pens from you. And back in those days, to get your ASI number, they'd give you a list of people you could buy from without an ASI number. And you had to get like 10 invoices over $100 and then submit them for your ASI number. And we did that. And, you know, we started doing contracting out our screen printing. And there was a point where we were like, you know, we didn't like their turnaround time, didn't like their quality. And we said, why don't we just do this in-house ourselves? So, you know, from there, we got into screen printing. I mean, our, you know, that was the days internet was, you know, new. And so not a lot of people out there advertising. And we got this all-in-one unit. I don't know if you, if they're still around, Printa. And, you know,
Jay Vassell used to sell that.
Yeah, Jay, that was before Jay was with them. But, you know, they flew us up to Kirkland near Seattle and trained us. Yeah. And, you know, until we got a little better manual press, we thought, you know, bumping the screen to the side for registration was normal.
Yeah.
But from there, you know, we grew.
Did you rub the pallet or did you use the palm of your hand?
Yeah, it was the palm of our hand, you know. Sometimes your gut, you know, if you had a lot of Jack in the Box the night before. We had a lot of those all-nighters, you know, going to Jack in the Box, getting their tacos. Yep. But so we got from there, went to embroidery. We bought a local sign shop out, and we just kept growing and growing. And, you know, for 6 years in a row, we kept doubling our gross sales every year.
Right.
Because we were adding a service, organic growth. And people were like, well, that's amazing. It wasn't. I would rather have planned controlled growth than chaotic organic growth.
Yeah, right.
Well, needless to say, life happens, and probably what caused my divorce. But, you know, we got divorced, and she still has the business. It's running great. She's actually a customer of S&S, orders quite a bit. And I found myself at Stahl's. And Stahl's, another great company, very similar to S&S and their culture and their atmosphere. Love the Stahl's products. The people at Stahl's are great, still good friends with them. And I covered Arkansas, Louisiana, and East Texas. And I found myself more and more talking about other decoration methods than Stahl's, than the heat printing. And, you know, I got frustrated at times. And then S&S opened a warehouse in 2017 in Texas. And I had the opportunity in January of 2019 to take an outside rep position with S&S. And having a decorator's background, it was easy for me to relate to the decorators at S&S. You know, the product selection and brand offering is huge. The company invests heavily in inventory. Mm-hmm. The website is very user-friendly. You know, the distribution center, they get things out on time and accurately. So knowing all that, it was easy to convince the customers, hey, S&S is the right choice for you. But, you know, with the decoration side of it, I felt there was a gap there, and I needed to bridge that gap from sales to decoration. And with my background, I pitched the idea to my management team that we needed a new position for somebody to manage the Freight Advantage program and to be sort of a liaison for our decorators and our affiliates like GSG and Stahl's. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, great idea. Let's do it.
You.
And, you know, very supportive. So over the last 6 months, I've transitioned into this new role on a full-time basis. And it's been very exciting and very rewarding. And if you can't tell, I'm very passionate about working with decorators, my S&S team, and the people like you and Alan, and companies like Stahl's and GSG.
Yeah, good. Hey, we got that's great. We got some great comments here. So Ray with Kidco in Michigan is going to be reaching out to you, Frank.
Please do.
And then our good buddy Nate says, being that we've had now industry manufacturing shakeups for 2 years now, so it's nothing new, what is S&S doing to make sure that when the next supply chain disruption happens, and it will, that there is a plan for mitigation and not it's what it is, this is just the new normal, right? So what do you think about that, Frank?
Good luck. You know, Nathan, I wish it were a perfect world. And if you want, Marshall, we can jump right into the, you know, how we're handling our current state. You know, it's certainly been challenging for all of us, you know, professionally and in our day-to-day lives. I mean, as Americans, I think we're generally accustomed to abundance, right? That's our norm. The concept of having to wait 3 to 4 months for a refrigerator or a basic piece of furniture. You know, my family owns some furniture stores, so I can attest to this. We find it strange and it's frustrating. So on the business side, the supply chain challenge, the inventory shortages, they're intense. We know this. You know, we're very aware that our customers, their livelihood is based on delivering products to their customers by a certain date. We know that. So when, you know, blank product, you know, they depend on it to be available, it's a huge challenge when it's not.
Yeah.
But like everyone else, our in-stock rates, they're nowhere close to where they are at normal times. We all know that, or where we would like them to be. But I do feel that our collaborative nature, you know, and the relationships we have with all of the mills, our vendors, that, you know, our tendency is to invest heavily in inventory. You know, Nathan, you run a business, I believe, probably.
He does. And,
you know, you got to look at everything, your bottom line. So I was having this discussion with another rep of ours. Are we going to buy so much that next year we're just going to have a surplus? And, you know, so it's kind of that fine balancing act that you've got to do. Nobody would project this would happen, right?
Yeah.
And I hate saying, yeah, that's our new normal. But I just go back to, you know, the relationships that we have. I feel that we're poised and probably in a better position than others in our market. And I think if you look at inventory stock levels, you know, across the board, I feel that's a good position. But I also look at our breadth of assortment that we have. You know, until yesterday's news, I used to always say that we don't have a proprietary brand of our own. We're just a house of brands. So it's nice. And we're going to continue that model, even with the addition of Toltecs and M&O. But, you know, it's nice that, you know, like right now we're in hoodie fleece season. So if, you know, I have a customer and they're wanting hoodies, generally I go to Gildan. Right now it's not in stock. So what I do, I look at Hanes next. It's not in stock. Well, then I go to Jerseys. It's still not in stock. But then I remember that S&S rep that came around and told me about Independent Trading Company.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, oh yeah, they got hoodies too. You know, and bingo, it's in stock. Great price. And, you know, I can satisfy my customers' need. They're happy. And that just speaks to the breadth and the, you know, depth of our brands that we offer. So when we have those times like we're in, you know, we can take care of that through four or five plus brands. And, you know, it's not the most efficient, but I'm glad I can take care of that customer. Yeah. And, you know, what we've seen is some of these brands that people weren't accustomed, you know, we're creatures of habit, you know, repetition. I'm going to go to Gildan, you know, and it's nice to see that, you know, brands like Bella Canvas and Next Level and some of these fashion brands have broken us out of that mold. But when we see we're in times, we're finding other brands, we're like, wait a minute, you know, it's sort of a diamond. It's a gem, you know, we finally found like Independent, and we start utilizing it and it becomes a staple item, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, Nathan, but, that's where I see our strength is right now, is the breadth that we have of all the brands that we do carry.
I think there's one thing I want
to check. Oh, I'm sorry, Alan, go.
I think there's two things that Nathan brings up a very good point, is that all of us, whether we're a supplier, a distributor, a decorator, we all have to, what this has happened, we went from one major disruption to another, from pandemic. How are we going to stay in business? And people have. The ones that are on here have survived. We're back up. Now there's supply shortages. And what I am seeing is, I love what you said, Frank, that we come from a society of abundance we're used to. And I hate to say it, I've traveled overseas to third world countries. We do live. First time I went to a third world country in 1993, I came back, told my family, we live in Disney World. And we do.
Yeah.
So we as Americans, we are a little bit selfish and spoiled that we come from abundance. So we don't want to wait. But what this has made a lot of decorators do is to, one, I was with Cleveland Printwear. They were at Print Hustlers. Mike Cannon was. I think you guys might have met him. Him and his son, Matt, were saying they are now talking to all their customers going, sure, we'd love to have this order from you. What's your choice on shirt? Great. What's your second one? Great. What's your third one? Great. What's your fourth one? Great. People that on the print side, while they had their favorite white ink, they have learned as printers, and I've always said this, screen printers are the most resourceful people in the world because they can make mud print if they have to. They just don't like to, but they don't like change. And now they're going XYZ. You're laughing, Marshall. Is that true?
Because mud will print if the viscosity is right.
And if it's not, you can make it. They'll figure out how. Add a little bit more water. But, you know, but now they're going, I like this white. Oh, you have this one? Fine, let's go. And it has made more flexibility. Now, I think as manufacturers or suppliers, we have to remember that mentality. And these are not bad things to have in our repertoire that, you know what? You are a good printer. You are a good decorator. You can get away with different things. Know your brands. And I like what you said, Frank, that there's all these. I usually go with Hanes. I usually go with Jersey. Oh, wait, there's independent? You know, now we're looking at different things, especially as the salesman came off of some of our competitors are not making product.
Yeah.
Good for us, bad for them, and let's go. And people are starting to look at Easy Way that haven't. And that's a good thing for us. So
right.
I don't know if that's a answer, but I think these are some things that we've been forced to do, all of us, that we might want to continue because there will be another disruption.
Yeah.
We live in a imperfect world.
I also want to throw out there that SNS has a really great new tool, which is if you're looking for product, you can get instantly updated when the product is available. And I can't remember what that's called, but
the notification. Yeah, you hit notify on the style.
There's the word notification. So you can, if you're interested in a particular hoodie or shirt or hat or whatever, and it's not available, you can put that in there. And as soon as it's in stock, you'll get an alert that says, hey, it's in stock, go order it, right? And I know a lot of people are really happy with that because I've heard actual chops tell me how fantastic that is. So, good job on that, SNS.
Nice job, yeah.
We got some smart people behind the scenes.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I think all of us would say we've been around, surrounded ourselves with smart people. They make us look good.
Yes, you know, Alan, add to your point, I feel like, you know, the pandemic, when we were shut down in many areas, that was the practice run for people that did pivot to now deal with the inventory.
We don't use that word this year still.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
We don't use pivot.
Okay.
We adjusted.
Yeah. So we got some really great comments from some smart people. So let's throw those up here.
In a couple months.
We do order a lot of items from SNS. Usually y'all have the products. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
Hurley says good morning. And Josh says good morning. Hurley said, we started at the beginning of the pandemic, and companies like SNS and Lancer Group International have helped us grow through the times. SNS gets 99% of the business, and we love how they treat us. Top notch. That's awesome.
Great job. Yeah.
Thank you, Hurley. That's really satisfying to hear, Frank, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah.
I think, and I don't know, you know, one of the things with the acquisition I saw online is that most things were positive. They were just questions, you know, okay, what is going on? You know, the Toltex brand was the thing everybody was like, oh, this is great. It's going to be more access and stuff. And that's such a great brand. Mm-hmm. There were some things that people were going, oh, great, now they're going to raise prices again to pay for this acquisition. And, you know, I didn't post anything, but I thought, no, McFly, they're not going to do that. If prices go up, it's because of everything else, not because of the acquisition.
Right.
So all that because, Hurley, thank you very much. Those are nice to hear. And we got to say, you know, the praises when people need to be praised in a base. So,
yeah.
And I think most on the acquisition has been all positive. A lot of questions, but all positive.
I think it's really good to get feedback like Hurley's because, here's what I think everybody will bitch and moan and throw out that hand grenade at the drop of a hat. But how many times do people actually say something nice?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's really great when you see positive comments because for some reason people don't offer those up as much. Why is that? Anybody have a theory on that? We're really used to bitching.
Well, what's the cliche, Marshall, that, you know, if somebody doesn't like something, they're going to tell 10 people about it, but if they do like it, they don't say anything?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because we're bad humans.
Right. So Dwayne says, missed the first part of the video. What acquisition took place? Dwayne, we bought your shop.
Marshall bought the industry, all of it. We all work for him now, including you.
S&S bought TSC. That's the acquisition that happened yesterday. So yep. That's what's going on. So that's really sad. It shouldn't be that way. We all agree. Right. Where's the check? Hey, check the mail, pal.
Check in the mail.
All right. So the comments are coming in. I can't keep up. So Hurley says, you and me both, Alan. It's all about the drama. It's dopamine. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right. And so Peter says, we just opened a new account with S&S.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to doing business with them. You just opened the account today because you're watching the show, or you opened it like, you know, a week or two ago? What? Kind of lay that out for us, Peter. We're very
Your show's making a difference already, guys.
We would love to be the difference makers.
Because Peter's in Michigan, like I am, where is the nearest warehouse? And I, in Michigan to Michigan, where
I would probably say Lockport, Illinois.
Lockport, Illinois, map. To Chicago. Got it.
Come on.
And now TSC in Cincinnati.
You know, I'm not sure.
So right here, number one, Lockport, Illinois.
Got it.
And that map has changed. So we're using a few regional. Carriers as well now, so we have quicker time in transit.
Wonderful.
Okay. So anyway, there you go. So Dwayne says, awesome. Jason says, good morning, Frank has the second best haircut at S&S. I guess Jason has the no hairstyle also.
We have the same barber. Yeah.
Right. And Peter says, yesterday we tried with TSC but didn't have any stock. That's funny.
The announcement, Frank, I might have jumped the gun, was TSC is going to be run separate as TSC for a while.
I think until the remainder of the year.
Yeah, that's what I thought it said on the press release.
I think that's the email they sent out to their customer base.
Okay, that's cool. All right, Mark wants to know, what are your thoughts on the screen opener shortage?
Why does everybody want to poke the
tiger? That's why. That's what's going on with Mark there.
It should never come back. The shortage should be, it should be discontinued. It's all aerosols. And Mark Saldana, coming from you, I know you're just a beehive folk. You know, so bad between them and
so, hey, for those of you who use screen opener, I think Alan, you need to explain why they shouldn't do that, especially if you're having some screen issues.
I gotta remember,
take it away, Mr. Alan.
Yeah, I gotta remember, we're a family friendly show, so my thoughts on screen opener. Screen opener, if you don't know, is an aerosol product of very dangerous chemical in there. I think it still has cyclohexanone as the very first one listed, which is a known carcinogenic. It is highly flammable. It actually, see, everybody laughs. Charles is laughing at me now too. It's highly flammable, and it was designed for when inks air dried, mostly solvent-based inks, and you would get be printing, it would dry up in the screen, and it was because they were solvent-based, a shot of solvent right in there would open that up right in the print run. Screen printers, decorators in the garment decorating thing said, oh, this is handy. I could use it just to clean screens. Well, or on press. Yeah, it's convenient. It doesn't clean very well. You use a bunch more. If your emulsion is not solvent resistant or underexposed and stuff, it can lock it up, and it causes plastisol to stain. It should never, ever be in a textile shop. Did I say never, ever? Never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never.
Do you have an opinion on this?
I have no opinion whatsoever. I don't sell the stuff. I don't like the stuff. But, you know, the best part about it, it is expensive as can be. So you are paying anywhere from $7 to $10 a can when you can get it. And when it's empty, it's the propellant that's out. You can still hear the chemical in there. So when it stains mesh, you have to use a separate solvent or a separate product, whether it be a stain remover or a screen wash or something like that, to get it out. And you're going to use more anyways, which is good for me. Keep using it. I will retire earlier. I'm fine with that. But it is not there. If you use a product, say like Mark Soldonik just put his little post up there so I don't have to shamelessly plug me, but a product of a good on-press wash, learn to use it correctly. You're going to use 70% less. It's a money saver. It's a time saver. It's a health saver. That's my plug. And I did it without dropping an F-bomb. I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah. It's not a friend to the guy who has to reclaim screens. Thanks, Jason.
Exactly, Jason. So the aerosol thing is people are having trouble not just getting screen opener, but anything in aerosols from adhesives to everything has been an issue. They just can't get them. The shortage is there. So you need to look at a product like EasySolve 842, a good on-press cleaner. The flash and the flash point's higher. It's not going to dry as fast, so you don't have to use as much. And if it feels oily to tape, just take the dry part of your rag, buff it real quick, and you can tape like that, any tape. Yeah.
And you mentioned that Alan just came from a sales meeting, so...
We were talking about auto reclaim, but yeah, this is kind of my little soapbox. I despise it. I have literally, there was a large company, I won't mention their name, who was buying, when I worked for a distributor, a pallet of screen opener every month and a half from me.
Oh,
and
my God. It bothered
me so much, I switched them over to a product like 842 because it is just awful. But yeah, I think you need to, on spray adhesives, screen openers and stuff, find a product, look at a water-based roll-on one, because there, it's just not a product that's available either.
Alan, what's your BP at?
My what?
Your BP.
I don't know. Probably not good.
We love seeing you get wound up.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, there's a few things that'll do it. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Thanks, and Mark.
I wish Mark didn't know that, but yeah.
Yeah. So Nate's got a great question here. So, what would it take to get a QA inspection feature added when we order, understanding that it would cost extra and delay shipping, to ensure that we can complete orders with less garment defects? Just to qualify that I'm not a negative person, S&S is the number one supplier, and Joe Mellon is the best. So I think what Nate wants to know is, you know, holes or the seams not sewn or whatever, somebody going through the shirts before you ship them out so they don't have to do that in the shop. I think they would probably pay more if somebody did that, just so they wouldn't have to have that problem in the shop. Like, I know you're, you know, I don't know if you can even answer this, but what's your opinion on that, Frank?
You know, we do have a Q&A for piece picking, but anytime you have a case go out, you know, if that case came in from a mill, it's going directly out by the case. So I can't always say that, you know, it's not going to happen. We're kind of at the mercy of the mill. And in the times that we're in, you know, time is of the essence getting product out right now, especially we're getting into the Christmas season. And, you know, I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, plan for UPS, FedEx, USPS, any, you know, rural carrier or in your area, plan for lots of delays. I would also suggest possibly trying to head it off and implement a, if you haven't already, a receiving system. So as soon as the goods are received, you know, say, you know, you're staging or setting production times up and you're not going to press until 3 or 4 days, you know, check them in as soon as they're, you know, received. That way you can head off any of those, you know, because I know, you know, the seam issues, they do happen. Holes do happen.
Right.
You know, I hate that that's a problem, but, you know, all, and we will work more on our processes as well. If you want to send me an email directly, I will head that up our, you know, supply chain manager. And, you know, the more comments that we get, the better we get. So, you know, send them our way. We welcome them.
Frank, do you know Nathan Leber, who
posted I don't.
Someone you want to meet. Good guy. Okay. Yeah, he's going to be, when we're all away from this industry, it's going to be him and a few other guys doing stuff like this. He's class act. So
So, Sean, thanks for letting me know my mic is echoey. It was using not my expensive Yeti mic, but the stupid computer mic. So does that sound better? Please let me know. And then Alan says Alan, an F-bomb, that'll be the day.
No, it's unfortunately it has happened.
Cindy has to go. Thanks for watching, Cindy. Appreciate you. Josh says we need the aerosol for web tech, not that useless crap.
And that's true, because when it comes to doing fleece and stuff, sometimes you can you have to use a web tech. I mean, I understand there are times, and I tell people, you know, as much as I get on the soapbox with screen opener, I tell production managers there's going to be those times you got to have it for that one obscure thing. Keep a case, lock it in your office, and never let people touch it without management knowing. But yeah.
So, new topic, right? So, I've got opinions on being a contract decorator, but so Frank, what are the benefits of being a contract decorator? And then maybe I'll share my thoughts after that.
So. You know, I get this a lot, because when I was a custom decorator, you know, that was always ideal, you know, being a contract decorator. You know, the old cliche, I would love my business if it weren't for the customers. but you know, when people ask me about contract decoration, I first ask them, you know, or I even have salespeople that ask from time to time about bringing decoration in house if all they're doing is selling. My response is always the same. What are you passionate about? You know, I'm the type, I like sales. I like talking to people. Even when I was a custom decorator, I was the guy out selling it. You know, my ex-wife now, she at the time, she was the one doing production. You know, so, you know, some people are like that. They want to be in the back room with the music loud. They don't want the public messing with them. You know, in the four types of businesses that I see in our industry, you know, you got the sales only businesses, ASI types, the custom decorators, the contract decorators, and then the hybrids. You know, if you're considering contract printing, are you passionate about that? Are you passionate about the custom, you know, the creation side of business? Do you like to see it from concept to design? Do you like the customer interaction? So some people love that. So to be a contract decorator, you know, it's to their own demise. It's like, they're not going to be happy. Or, you know, would you rather just see jobs flow in and go out and not to have to deal with the end user? Mm-hmm. Maybe you like a mix of both. So that's the first question I have when it comes to, you know, being a contract decorator. You want to look at the pros, and maybe this is your debate, Marshall. You know, I look at pros of being a contract decorator is, you know, there's less end user interaction. You're not having to train new customers about decoration techniques or expectations, turnaround times, pricing, etc. You know, all that initial information that has to go up front. That's done on every new customer. You know, it's very repetitive. Let me, here's my pitch again. You know, on the flip side of that, a pro, you know, the interactions that you do have as a contract decorator are with contract customers. They mm-hmm. already know what to expect. They already know the industry. Another pro would be less marketing or social media presence is required. You're not always having to chase the next customer. Most contract decorators, they have an existing long-term relationships, you know, they've already formed. Thus, you know, they have less exposure and they can kind of stay hidden or private, you know, as a business, so to speak. Also, it seems like, you know, jobs are more consistent, you know, especially during slow times or maybe during a recession or during a pandemic, God forbid. You know, during this pandemic at S&S, we were contacting our Freight Advantage network and asking, hey, are you open for business? Are you accepting referrals? Because there were so many people, if they weren't deemed as essential, mm-hmm. they were shut down and couldn't do production. Yeah. So we nationwide were looking for these guys. And, you know, that's just, you know, one of those as a contract decorator, people are always looking for a good contract decorator.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Another pro is there's less artwork involved. Generally, it's provided, hopefully. Also, minimal ordering, because the garments are generally drop shipped to you, you know, from your contract customer. Now, the flip side, the con side is there's less margin, probably a little bit more labor issues because you have a production facility. Like we talked earlier, Nathan, or I can't remember, was it Nathan that asked about, you know, receiving inventory? You need to set a receiving inventory process to mitigate, you know, those holes. You have to deal with spoilage and mistakes and shortages. You always have to contend with that. You have to have the production or storage space. And I say storage space because right now when you're having to order from multiple warehouses or multiple vendors, you're not going to go to press until everything's there. So where are you going to store all this stuff as you're waiting for it to come in? And then scheduling your production. And, you know, I always had those guys that I was good friends with for some contract decoration. They're constantly pushing your timeline. Hey, can you get this out quicker for me? And you knew they were a good customer. And so you did everything without having to pay your guys overtime to get their job, you know, pushed ahead if you could.
Right.
So that's kind of my pros and cons. What are your thoughts, Marshall and Alan?
Well, so to me, if you're going to be a contract decorator, you need to be managing your shop and measuring. You need to know to the penny how much it costs you to do every single thing. Yep. And I see so many people who get into the contract side of things because they are looking over there and their press or their embroider machine or their DTG press or whatever isn't running. And then they open up the floodgates for contract. And now they have all this work that they're making a lot less money on. Mm-hmm. And they're super, super busy, but they're not profitable. And it's because they don't understand how much it costs for them to do stuff. And I've worked with shops before. And one of the things that I really want people to get to is to understand your cost per impression. Mm-hmm. And not just how much your ink costs, but every single dollar you're spending in your shop, you know, whether it's buying ink or buying emulsion or buying Band-Aids, when you buy a mop at the hardware store, everything it takes to run your business every single month versus how much your output, what is your unit of work? It's an impression. So that's one decoration location. So a 200 piece order front and back is 400 impressions. Okay. So you need to really understand what it takes to run that through. Okay. So if you're wanting to be a contract decorator, to me, that means somebody's handing you the football and you can run and score a touchdown with it. They're doing all the work. So if you're having to redo their art or you're having to order their shirts or you're having to ask any questions or whatever, then you need to be charging more for that than whatever they're giving you, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people think contract is like there's all different forms of it, right? It should be really easy to push that stuff out. And where a lot of people get mixed up, especially if you're contract and retail at the same time, is that the contract comes in this giant tsunami wave of orders. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the jobs that you're making a lot of money on, these highly profitable retail stuff, they get squeezed out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the only way you can keep up is overtime, working weekends. And then what happens generally is the jobs that you're making all this money on get pushed out for this contract stuff. Because, you know, there's deadlines and we got to ship it out and everything. And then you get so upside down on it, it doesn't really make sense, right? Mm-hmm. I want people, if you're going to get into it, to really understand the math behind things. How much does it cost you to make a screen? How much does it cost you to do things? What is the, and I just call it opportunity cost for your press. Like, so I want you to be thinking about your manual, your auto, your embroidery machine, your DTG, whatever. Think of a number. What does that value per hour for that piece of equipment, right? And a lot of times I use $300 an hour for an auto, right? Mm-hmm. Just because it's just simple math. It can be equated to $5 a minute. So when that press is actually printing shirts, you're making $5 a minute, right? Mm-hmm. So how many times during the day are you not printing, right? And so whether it's retail or contract, right? you're only getting so much money for contract, and just make sure that the math works out for you to make sure that it's going to be a profitable job. So many times, Frank, I think people start doing contract work because they've got press time, and then they start looking at the math, and they're actually giving away money all the time because they're only getting 50 cents a side or something, and it costs them $1.35 an imprint because the amount of stuff that they're doing just does and their overhead and everything wasn't figured into it. And so this is why they get so upside down and stuff. And then I worked with a shop a couple of years ago. They were doing $1.2 million a year in business, but they only made $12,000.
Who was the guy you had at Shirt Lab that spoke? Had the lightning bolt.
Yeah, that was Jonathan Tynes.
He said he made that much, and his CPA said, "No, you didn't."
So it's all about profit. It isn't about the top line sales.
Yeah,
right. People get really enamored in this stuff.
That's why I bring it back to your passion. I think if you're passionate about it, run your numbers, do your time studies. You know,
right. So we got some great comments here. So Dean wants to know who the hell you are, Frank. So.
Hey, Dean.
This is Frank Good with SNS Activewear. I don't know if he's making a joke or he really doesn't know you, but, you know, he's our guest today. So, Dean. Adam's here, says, be profitable.
Absolutely.
Scott says, good morning. Good afternoon, fellas. I just talked to Scott this morning.
How you doing, Scott?
Good to see you here. Contract printing is AI, a la carte printing, charge for everything. Exactly. Jason says, Marshall's great point. Some people learn that their actual cost is by contract printing. Time studies are the key. Yep. And Dean says, not a joke. Just join the chat. Yeah. So
no problem.
Thanks for clarifying. So we don't have where's my thing here? Right. So Frank Good, we should put S&S Activewear underneath that. There's only so many characters.
You got it on my. Yeah. You see that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, there's nothing wrong with being a contract printer. You know, the shops that I actually run, my whole background is in contract printing. That's where I came from. And I know a considerable amount about it because I have failed miserably hundreds of times doing things. And experience is the best teacher, right? So that's how I know all this stuff, because I had to figure it out. So
I think too, in production, for contract printing, it's not just know your cost and everything, but go through. You have to look, and this is where a guy like Greg Hitson at Mind's Eye does great. You look at every bottleneck, every flow disruption. That every time you see that, that's a sucking sound of money just going away, and that will kill you.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So
Cal, I met Greg, when I had my shop, we had dinner together, and he was so. He has so many good methods, but one that stuck with me was his, oh my God, Fridays. He would shut his shop down at noon because, you know, you always had an oh my God moment, and that gave him time that always stuck with me.
Yeah. So Cal's here. Hey, Cal, thanks for watching. I walk into the shop every day with a number in my head.
Okay.
Great. And Hurley says, learn a lot of what to do by taking on contract printing in the beginning. Had to learn fast to stay going. Mm-hmm. Dean says, congrats on the new acquisition of TSC.
Thank you.
Can you talk about keeping Toltex and EOL line and how TSC deal with the supply chain issues?
I believe we are keeping Toltex and the M&O line. The supply chain issues coming over to S&S, it's only going to get better.
Okay, great.
And Dean, because you just jumped on, you can see we've talked about some of the supply chain issues earlier, and you can jump on YouTube and any of the podcast channels and listen to the replay on it also. On
right. Hey, we're nearly out of time. Yeah. This hour went quick.
And just so you know, I think Dean, if I remember right, Dean is in charge of marketing for Brian Walker for IJ Technologies. If I remember
is he?
Right.
That's great.
Well, Dean, isn't that who you are?
Yeah, let us know.
So,
before you go, Frank, is there any, or here you go, great comment from Hurley. M&O is our number one seller. Love their stuff. I am here at iGroup. There you go.
Tell Brian I said, hey, I've known Brian many years.
Yeah, a glow in the dark ink. They've got the best. Let's talk about
someone else. You're thinking Brian Peters. This is Brian Walker from.
Right. I'm sorry.
Viper Precheaters, all digital.
Yeah, I'm thinking Allure Glow Ink. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep.
No problem.
So anyway, so sorry. So let's wrap up here since our show's over, right? So. Frank, give us kind of a recap of if you haven't used SNS before, why you should consider that, and then maybe what's coming up with you guys. You're going to be at Long Beach and that kind of stuff.
Yes, we'll be at PPAI and Long Beach. I'll be at Long Beach. If you're not using SNS, please go to ssactiveware.com. We have over 70 brands and growing, 3.5 million square foot of warehouse. There's 6 distribution centers across the nation. We can get to 99% of the company in 1 to 2 days. We just launched 4 new brands and 182 new styles for 2022. I think we have everything, to take care of the decoration market.
Great. And if you're a contract decorator and you don't know Frank, you should reach out to Frank.
Yes.
And let me, share this again just so you see his info.
And Marshall, while they're looking at that, before we end, I don't know because I came in late. Did you mention we had a loss in this industry? You wanted me to remind you of that.
Yes. Thank you, Alan. A lot of folks know Tom Cochran, and he passed away this last week, and I wanted to share my condolences to his family and all his friends and stuff. And I don't think I ever met Tom personally, but we've chatted back and forth a bunch of times and through email and on social media and that kind of stuff. And I know what a really smart and funny, often really witty guy he was. And I just wanted to share that we're thinking about him and his family and stuff. So he will be missed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. And, we all have different industries and stuff, and this is a big industry, but it really isn't. So.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, here we are. Last minute comments and then we'll close up. So Dean says, when I had my shop, SNS was hands down my go-to, great customer service. Thanks. Sean was commenting on the SNS experience yesterday. Thank you for doing that. You. We didn't even touch on that. What a monumental thing that was.
Yeah.
Jason says, good job, Frank.
Thanks, Jason.
Clint says, thanks, fellas. Great information today, especially on the contract printing. Gives a lot of insight before making that jump.
Absolutely.
Clint, if you need any info, happy to help you with that, pal. Beautiful mention for Tom. He was a great person. Big loss for the industry. Yes.
Yeah.
His wife has a GoFundMe to help with the funeral services. I wasn't prepared. I should have the link for that. I actually donated to that, but you can find that on Facebook in one of the groups. That's where I saw it. So that's pretty much it for the show. We appreciate you coming on today, Frank. And don't go anywhere after we close up here. Yep. Okay. Dean shared it. Hey, thanks, Dean.
Awesome.
Any last minute thoughts before we go?
Yep. Change your clocks this weekend.
Yeah.
Not you, Marshall.
Yeah, we don't do that in Arizona.
Yep.
Which really screws me up, by the way, just so you know.
Now you'll only be 2 hours behind us on the show. So when you and I talk, I made the mistake. I called Marshall this morning and it was like 5:30 in the morning his time.
I didn't answer. Actually, I was in the shower
but that was a little early.
So the phone was ringing and you probably upset my whole family, but whatever.
Yeah, sorry about that. I apologize, Jack and Jody.
All right. So thanks, guys. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you next week. And take care. See ya.
Have a great week.